If Stockton wants a peek into its future, it might look toward Vallejo, a blue-collar town on the northern edge of San Francisco Bay. 5 years ago, with the city unable to balance its budget and crushed under a mountain of debt, Vallejo declared bankruptcy. It was just weeks into Osby Davis's first term as mayor.
I spent the first 6 months attempting not to file bankruptcy, trying to find a way out, finance our way out, negotiate our way out, wait our way out. None of that worked.
The city treasury was empty, and Vallejo simply couldn't afford the rising costs of wages and retirement benefits for city workers. Shortly after bankruptcy, the economy fell into a deep recession, worsening the city's fiscal ditch. Vallejo slashed and scratched its way towards solvency. It emerged from bankruptcy 3 years later, but its budget still isn't balanced. We traveled to Vallejo this month to see what scars remain from the bankruptcy and how people have adapted.
This door was about ready to fall off the hinges, and paint's peeling off the wall back here.
Vallejo Police Chief Joseph Crines is giving me a tour of police headquarters, a modest two-story building not far from downtown.
This building was in horrific shape. Paint peeling off the walls, carpeting that was horrible. And in these past several months now, we've painted the entire inside of this building, replaced all the carpeting, replaced some flooring. And those seem like little things, but it's a big, big deal when you talk about your working condition.
Chief Crines got here last year after the city escaped bankruptcy. He was brought in to pick up the pieces. The number of police officers had fallen by nearly half, from about 155 cops down to 85. Almost anyone, including Chief Crines, will tell you it left the city in peril.
On our graveyard shifts, for example, say after 2 o'clock in the morning, quite frequently, we're running with a sergeant and about 5 or 6 police officers for a city of 115,000 people in 40 square miles, and those are ridiculously low numbers.
Today, Vallejo has no anti-gang unit. It's lost 10 of its 24 dispatchers. The result, says Chief Crines,
wherein we might have responded to calls, say, within an hour, and I'm talking about non-in-progress calls. Today it might take us hours and or if we respond at all.
On the city's waterfront on a recent sunny afternoon, Vallejo's money problems were nowhere to be found. Across the channel from Mare Island, the former naval shipyard that closed in 1996, parents and kids strolled along the sidewalk as fishermen cast their lines into the water. But city services and the quality of life have surely declined since the bankruptcy. The good news? Residents of Vallejo have stepped up.
We were a city. Now we're a community because so many of us have banded together to do something about it.
John Allen and two other community leaders are at the waterfront talking about how Vallejo has changed. Allen runs a program called Fighting Back Partnership, which helps battle crime. Allen says that after Vallejo fell into bankruptcy, residents here felt targeted by criminals from other cities.
Coming in here just feeling that they could get away with stuff, burglaries, home invasions, because the police couldn't respond to everything that was going on.
Since 2008, the number of community crime watch groups has ballooned to more than 400. They're all coordinated by an online newspaper called the Vallejo Lamplighter. The website was started by Ann Smith during a rash of crime.
The prostitution started about 6 o'clock with actually carloads of prostitutes driving up and beginning to phone and text John's. And they would start picking them up in front of my house and all around the corner.
The watch groups have helped restore a semblance of security to many Vallejo neighborhoods. But Smith says Vallejo's fall into the fiscal abyss has changed the way residents think about local government.
There's been a whole lot more political activism on the part of people in Vallejo. They've been going to city council meetings, demanding a higher accountability level. I think people are really motivated and interested in turning the town around and making sure we go back to being the kind of community we all envision.
Allen and Smith say they're both hopeful about the future. But Patrice Lewis of the local NAACP says she worries about a lingering stigma, the kind she felt as a student at Sacramento State.
I would tell people, oh, I live in the city of Vallejo, or I'm from Vallejo, and they would say, oh, the bankrupt city. It makes the people and the citizens lose morale overall, you know, because they have this label of being bankrupt when really, I think it's a great city.
Back in his office, Vallejo Mayor Osby Davis laments the toll bankruptcy has taken here, not just in public safety, but in the crumbling condition of city streets. And he says they just can't keep up.
So they're getting worse by the day as opposed to better, even though we're putting money into paving our streets.
The mayor notes that despite the spending cuts, Vallejo's budget is still not in balance. The final piece, he says, squeezing more concessions from the city's police officers union. Progress in those talks is slow, and the union president says they've already given back what they were asked, that further cuts will only make it harder to attract and keep police officers. For Vallejo, the worst of the bankruptcy is now over. But as a fix for fiscal problems, city manager Dan Keene doesn't recommend it.
Bankruptcy is horribly expensive. It's a morale killer, and its long-lasting effects are pretty devastating. So I would always advise, if there's some way to avoid it, it's not the best solution.
The good news, says Keene, Standard & Poor's recently upgraded just slightly one of the city's bond ratings.